Breaking news sound. Breaking news, everybody. Important announcement. Hey, venturers, if you listened to episode 30, the episode previous to this one, for the first time before the morning of March 6th, 2023, stop here. Due to an editing error, the originally published version of episode 30 was missing about 45 minutes at the end of the episode. The error has now been corrected, and there is a new version of episode 30 that has been uploaded. So, if you re-download episode 30, or just listen to it natively in your podcast listening apps, you can go back now and hear those very dramatic missing 45 minutes. If you don't go back and listen to those, the recap at the start of this episode will absolutely spoil some big stuff. We are so very sorry for the error. Working with new people to establish new processes is always difficult, and we are as bummed about as you are about the error. If you listen to episode 30 for the first time after March 6th, 2023, you are totally good to ignore this message and enjoy the sweet episode before you. Thank you again for the patience and understanding. Announcement over. Welcome back, venturers, to another decadent episode. We are thrilled to have you here. Before I hit you with that sweet recap of what happened last time, I just want to say a big ol' thank you to Emily Mayo for composing our theme song, to Tabletop Audio for providing additional ambient music, and to all the wonderful folks who help make this show possible with their Patreon donations. We literally would not be here without your kindness and willingness to support independent creators. Thank you. I also want to remind you folks that there are so very many ways to get involved with the Venture Maidens community beyond just listening to the show. We've got a wonderful and very active Discord community filled with folks organizing their own games, posting pet photos, chatting about the show, and more. We'd love to have you join us there to get involved and stay up to date on some of the exciting news coming soon from the Maidens. You can find the link to join our Discord in this episode's show notes, on our website, and pinned on most of our social platforms. Alright, that's the business, so here's the recap of what happened last time. Last time on Venture Maidens, our heroes forge ahead as clues keep piling up. Lou and Cassie discovered the body on the shore was not a corpse, but the unconscious form of Enzo's bride-to-be, Reyna Oliana. While those two rushed Reyna to the house doctor, Tony and Aoife tried to learn more about the creature that attacked Tony's uncle, Lori Silvertail. After some well-needed rest and a cryptic warning from Rook about Cassie's potential ties to the Corellans, the group reassembled to share their findings with the Fae Scholar. Our maidens had recovered enough information for Cassie to successfully identify the culprit, a Fae creature called a mare, which is born from the spirit of an unwedded woman seeking revenge for a romantic betrayal committed against her in life. Cassie's findings confirmed Tony's growing suspicions about the involvement of her uncle in Mina Olyana's death, leading her and her father to confront Lori one last time. Lori confessed to having an affair with Mina, despite the fact that she was betrothed to his son. Even worse, the night he went to Lily Hall to break off the affair, he discovered her dead in the water and fled the scene without telling anyone of her fate. And that's what happened. So now, here's the show.
Gather round, travelers, to hear our tale. Our heroes have a plan to hatch to save a couple's wedding match from inside a maiden fair. They must coax the fearsome mare. Stay out of the water as we head into favor, episode 31, till death do us part.
It's another episode of Venture Maidens. Oh my gosh, we're 31. We're back, episode 31. Hot dang. It's good. I've got a good feeling about this episode. Ooh, yeah.
You know what? Me too.
We're here. We're gonna stop some evil. You know, we're gonna do it. We're fighting evil by moonlight. It'll be amazing. Yay, good. Well, I'm not gonna dilly-dally too much, because we got some shit to do. We got some shit to fight, everyone. So, hey, everybody, welcome. This is Venture Maidens. We're an actual play D&D 5th edition podcast that can, or stream, that converts to a podcast. We should warn you before we dive in that this show is a very adult-themed stream show. So you can expect, you know, some darker themes. In general, we keep like a body horror content warning up. We also, for this episode, specifically this arc, we've had some specific content warnings, including drowning, suffocation. If that is a trigger for you, this may not be the episode for you to watch or listen to. But with that, let's go ahead. Let's dive in. Hey, everybody. My name is Celeste Conwich, and tonight I will be your dungeon master.
Hello, I'm Katie, and I'm going to be playing Luberi Sath, your drow rogue.
Hello, I'm Nassim Etemad, and I'm playing your half-orc fighter, Fitonia Silvertail. Call me Tony.
Wink.
Bing. And I am Sage, and I'll be playing your beatific bard, Aoife Flannery.
Ooh, beatific. Is that it? Is that everyone? There's only three of us. Wow. Oh, man. Man, just so you all know, I don't even have an alcohol yet. I have a tea because I need caffeine to get through what's about to happen. So, boy, oh, boy. All right, I'm focused. I'm ready. 31. Yes, let's do it. So at the very, very end, just to re-summarize again what we had talked about last time. So the plan is, one, you needed a way to lure the mare out. And the problem with that being that Reyna herself is like, the mare is kind of hiding inside of Reyna. So the mare actually decides when Reyna transforms into this thing. So that's the first problem, getting the mare to basically take over. So you need to get Reyna isolated somewhere alone. And yes, the plan was to have Lori there and use his past love letters, basically, to get this thing to come out. The second task ahead of you was to make sure that it is trapped in one place, because as you have learned, this thing can turn into mist and get through all kinds of cracks, crevices, and seems to have a lot of fey power just to be able to get away. So you determined that there were some of these herbs that have been known to help prevent, like, the mare from entering a house. So Tony kind of reversed engineered that with Cassie to be able to, like, use the herbs to seal up a room. So you can get Reyna in there, force her to transform in this specially prepared room, and you have decided to use the cabin that is in the middle of, like, the lake. And also, this cabin, as a note, too, to help further encourage this thing to come out, was where Mina and Lori had their illicit meetings. And also very close to where Mina died, because she was traveling out to this island when it happened. And then step three was basically, you're going to have to fight this thing until it is weak enough that it separates itself from Reyna. And once it is out of her, then we go to step four, which is trying to get this thing to be laid to rest, giving it some kind of satisfaction. So I believe at the very end, yeah, we had talked about, so you had talked to Sten, and this has all happened very quickly. Sten had basically given an excuse, like, and talked to Reyna, so you could get Reyna out to go to the island with you in the middle of the night. So in tomorrow morning, by the way, is supposed to be the start of the festival. Hundreds of Eldrin are going to be showing up, a bunch of people. So you got to get this done tonight. Otherwise, the wedding tomorrow and the festival tomorrow are in dire straits. So we have some other decisions we need to make, too, namely about how you guys want to stage this, like set this up in particular, any kind of resources that you want to make sure you have or don't have. As a reminder, I mean, you're out in like a little lake area on this island is going to be where this is happening. But there are already dozens and dozens and dozens of Eldrin, like just on the other side of the shore, you know, setting up for this festival and stuff. So there are a lot of people here, which means potentially if anything goes wrong, there are a lot of people that could get very hurt. So what are you doing to, I suppose, ensure that the action stays here? And then also you don't attract attention to yourself. Or is that not something you're concerned about?
Yeah, I think since we knew that we were coming here and we had all that time to prepare the herbs and everything, I realized we're not going to do like a perfect seal along the edge of the island and everything, but like just something that would discourage it from going towards there if we have any extra herbs scattering it upon that area. And then I think that it would also be pretty sick since these people are fucking rich if we encourage them to have like some sort of attraction or like a fireworks show or something on the opposite end of the grounds so that people just are not over here.
Yeah. And because there are some guests now that have arrived and are setting up. So people who will be attending the festival, as well as a ton of, you know, the performers and stuff. So, yeah, I think that wouldn't be a terrible idea to get maybe like a final dress rehearsal of maybe one of the acts or something. What would you like to set up? There's all kinds of money and resources there. And I think Sten would be more than happy to whisper in the right ears to make sure that happens. So, what's up? What's the cool attraction distracting everyone?
A drumline. Fireworks.
Oh, hell yeah. Shit. Hell yeah. So, it's a giant Eldrin marching band. It's like Stomp is just happening over there.
Oh, damn. Stomp is sick, though.
Yeah. All, like, bare-chested. Just, like, oiled up. Like, playing on drums. I love this.
Fuck yeah.
Amazing.
These really hunky Eldrin men are just...
where's Aoife?
Aoife's gone. I don't know. It's so weird. Amazing. Okay, cool. So there's going to be a big attraction that's like directing most of the people over there. You do also have Cassie and you have Rook as well. If you want anybody running like defense or maybe guarding the discouraging any... people, because typically there are just boats here, so people might just take boats and come to the island.
Keeping Cassie behind is a decent idea. I don't think she'll be of much service to us in there, now that we pretty much know what to do.
And definitely, and Rook can give a very stern, "This island is off limits for a private event," and be intimidating.
Yeah, she's definitely bodyguard energy. Yeah, you put her up there with like an earpiece. She'll scare the shit out of anyone.
Yeah, I think too, Cassie could probably help with like the reinforcing of like the deterrence and stuff, since we now know what her trade is, you know, aside
you
from
mean?
Just research.
You haven't talked to her about that.
Oh, I'm sure. But if we give her the herbs and we say, hey, scatter these because it will help with defenses, I think that she would probably do her best at the job.
So, yeah, and when you talk to Cassie as well, she'd be like, oh, yeah, of course. And Rook, why don't we do this together? Like, I know you're fond of watching people work, so perhaps that will be helpful. It's like her way of being like, I know Rook is
trying to extend an olive branch.
Yeah. She's like, okay, I know you're suspicious of me. Come work with me. It'll be fun. And Rook's like, but yes, they will go. So they will work together to ensure that nobody comes on the island, nobody goes near the water at all. And then hopefully that combined with the big show that is happening will distract most folks. Yes. So you get Reyna to the island. Your plans fall into place. You can hear already from the far side of the estate, you know, the drum, the distant bass that is coming from somewhere far away. So you make your way without any trouble to the island. And Lou, you've seen this place before, but you didn't go inside last time. But once again, the island is very small. It could maybe like 10 minutes to walk from one side of it to the other. It's mostly like a decorative kind of, you know, human-made or Eldrin-made, I guess, island in the center of this lake. On most sides of it, like three quarters of it are kind of steep rocks that are just built out to the side and spiral sort of down into the water. So those rocks where Mina slipped when they were very wet once upon a time. And the rest of it is all like really well manicured, like trees and shrubbery and stuff. It's all just very beautiful. And crowning it at the very top is this cute cabin that is made out of those, like, you know, painted white wood and this golden dome on the top of it. So it looks very cool and decorative from far away. The whole outside of this place is, you know, just lovingly, like, painted with little flowers and birds and all kinds of just cute shit. And right outside the cottage, you see there's, like, a little patio
area of cobblestone and some benches and a little fountain that's been running, like a tiny wishing well. Obviously, you never get water from it, but it's so cute. It's so cute. At this point, I think Reyna is going to look at all of you. So, Tony, I'm assuming you're inside, right? Yeah. Like, actually finishing the herb blends and stuff.
Yes.
So she's going to look at you, Aoife, and Lou, and go, sorry, can you just remind me what? Why I'm out here again? I know Sten said you had something, but this is all seems a little, and she's looking around and it's so dark out here and like she looks a little nervous.
Aoife will gesture for her to take the other side of Reyna's arm and to, you know, do that very polite wrist and elbow grab and lean.
Okay.
So we've been tasked by Sten and as a result by your parents to deal with whatever's been disturbing the events of your wonderful wedding nuptials to come. We have found evidence that there's a fae attached to this and, you know, leading into the house, into the cabin.
Yeah, yeah. And as you step inside, Tony, where have you put, like, Lori in this room? So as a reminder, this is, like, a one room, sort of like a studio style, like, lodge. It's all laid out still. Like, again, I think I described like cute Airbnb in the woods. Like it's all very quaint and like ready, you know, untouched for guests. There's like a table, you know, two chairs and like a vanity and stuff like that. Where is he?
I would say I guess we should have talked about this first. Should we tie her up? Because then I would have her towards sort of the back of the room, seated and bound. Do we feel okay with that?
Yeah, I feel like, yeah, once we have this little conversation, we can sit her down. And I think that would be once we close off the entrance we came through, then we can tell her what's going on and explain why we're binding her since she's in a state where right now she is going to remember what we do to her.
And you know, she's listening to you kind of describe what's going on, Aoife. And as soon as you step in, you know, she clocks Tony and then looks over and sees Lori there, because he's there, obviously, right, too. Lori? Oh, are you part of all this? And he just kind of, he's like sheepishly, I guess, sitting by the vanity. And he's got a box in front of him that he found earlier. And it's a box that seems to be hand-carved with, like, all these, like, running, motif of running horses on it. You see he's been filing through these papers that were in the box. Appear to be letters. He's been looking at them and looking them over. And he never looks, like, really happy, but he's been especially grim and silent while he's been doing this, while you've been setting up the room.
Hi, Reyna. Thank you for coming. Sorry to disappoint you with the lack of a dinner ceremony of any kind, but Lori here is here to help us with something, as Aoife sounds like she's filled you in a bit. Just like you, you're here to help us too. Just for a little while, you can go back right after and continue getting ready for the wedding. But my Lori's gonna read you, doesn't matter anymore, but Lori's gonna read you some letters, and we just want you to listen to them. But some things might happen because, you know, it's fae shit and fae are fucking weird and deal with.
So you've decided to tell her that it's a fae. This has something to do with a fae.
Yeah, but I don't need to get into what kind of fae or what it is, but it's just some ceremony that we think will help draw its attention. And for everyone's safety, we're going to have you sit down for us and we're going to keep you bound to the chair.
Okay. Well, I suppose, and she looks like you up and down, Tony, and your armor and your weapons and Lou, like, stacked up with knives. And Aoife, she looks at you suspiciously, like, what are you gonna do to me? But still, she's like, I clearly am in no position to object here, so okay. And she just sort of sits down in the chair, like, watching you all, and her eyes are like around the room. She seems to be looking, like, you know, clocking windows, doors, anywhere, potential escape, but she sits down.
Thank you so much. I know that was a very odd request, but I promise we're here to protect you and everyone at this wedding. So then she's going to start.
Sten said that you all were here to help, and I believe him, even though this all seems a little strange.
The Fae are strange. Looking at Reyna, does she look affected? Does she look, like, as, you know, sunken and tired as Enzo does? Does she look any different than what we might expect?
No, she looks great. She is, she's gorgeous. I mean, you can tell she looks so much like a younger version of her mother. Like, it's so clear that, you know, what she looks like. No signs of tiredness or anything. So apparently the mayor hasn't been influencing her in any negative way.
As you woke up on the shores of this very beach the other night, I can imagine that was very distressing. And maybe, perhaps, you don't remember it. I'm not sure. If you'd like to share, we'll be more than happy to listen. But this Fae, we think, is possessing you. And we want to ensure that we deal with it properly and once and for all.
Okay. All right. You all are the experts, I guess. Though I can tell you, I don't think... I don't feel possessed, but I guess, do all possessed people say that? I really don't know. I'm sort of... Can we just get this done?
Fantastic. Let's go.
So she'll... Yeah, if you... Somebody... So you're binding her to the chair?
Yes.
Okay, so she reaches out her hands and just like... kind of trying not to...
No, they're going to be on the arms of the chair, and then her either leg to either leg of the chair.
She's tied to the chair and is just looking at you all like you are mental.
You're doing great.
Perfect. You look great. Lori, you want to get started here? And I will take a position just in front of him, too. So he can, like, read over my shoulder.
Okay. Do I just start?
Yeah, I mean, why not? Let's go for it. Rip the band-aid off.
His hands are shaking as he's holding, you know, these packets of letters, and he kind of opens one up and takes a sort of a stuttering breath, and then he begins to read. As he begins to read, you very quickly notice another sound that starts to come from outside. Pattering of rain against the panes of glass. All of a sudden, like a storm just rolled in. It was a beautiful, balmy night before that, but now there it is, rain, and there's a crack of thunder that comes from somewhere up above. As he reads, "My dearest, with each day that passes, my love for you grows, as does the pain of knowing we must soon part. You have your whole life ahead of you, and though you might disagree, I trust you will one day see the wisdom of my decision." He's like reading and looking down at the paper, and then he rubs out his eyes and looks up at Reyna, just sitting in the chair, trying to put the pieces of this together. And he clears his throat and continues, "So please, meet me in the usual place in a 10 days' time, and let us say goodbye in grief, but not in anger. Until then, my darling." And he, like, crumples up the letter and puts it down. "Should I read another?"
Again. And Tony is just, like, staring down Reyna just to see if any change is happening in her or around her. Because this weather was already significant enough to Tony. So I'm just like, yes, do it again. And trying not to pay attention to the words he's saying.
Yeah, and he lets out like a kind of a heartbreaking sigh as he picks up another one and he begins to read once again. And Reyna now is just looking at him. I think at this point she's hearing the words and she's trying to put together what's going on, what this is about. And as he continues to read the second letter and the storm outside worsens, you see her gaze starts to change. Something about her is different, and you all feel something in the room, like that feeling when you can tell somebody is looking at you, but you don't know where it's coming from. You all get that like weird feeling. And as Reyna kind of looks down and then looks back up, you see her eyes, which were like these lavender color that matched her like powder lavender hair, are a bright shining blue. And Lori continues to read. He gets through a second letter and kind of crumples it up and looks at you, Tony.
Another one, Lori.
And he pulls a third out of the box and begins to read. And at this point, you hear scraping against the ground as like the legs of the chair that Reyna is in are like dragged. And you can see she's like rocking back and forth in the chair violently against her restraints and seems to be like shaking her head. No, 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 no. And Lori kind of gasps and then like looks up at her and like looks at you, Tony. And then there's a burst of like mist that fills this room. All of you are suddenly like your vision is obscured by this like silvery fog that seems to have just filled almost like dry ice, just like exploded in the room around you. And you hear like a low hissing sound that comes. And you see that this mist is like jams up against like the windows and tries to go for the doors. But as it encounters those lines of ground herbs you have left, the mist cannot escape. Let's go ahead and roll some initiative.
Hell yeah, let's go.
Lou got us 15.
A 17 for Aoife.
7 for Tony.
Okay, and Lori is just going to try to make himself very small in a corner during this fight. But if you want him to do anything, he will go at the top of the initiative order.
I was going to ask, so can we say that there's like a closet adjacent to this room? Because Aoife's thinking as soon as this thing separates from Reyna, the best thing to try and keep them safe is to like just shove them to closet, stay there while we fight this thing. So Aoife would be like,
yeah,
staying here. When we hopefully get her separated, we're going to throw her in here with you and just stay out of the way.
Yeah, for sure. And if you wanted to ahead of time, like, let's say there's one of those, like, giant, you know, wardrobes, right? With, like, the two-door things that they could definitely step up in. And if you wanted to, you could also ward that with the herbs mm-hmm. as well. Mm-hmm. So if you did want to go ahead and shove Lori in there right now.
Yeah.
The mayor couldn't get at him.
Perfect.
Okay, but as we begin, Lori is still here standing next to you, Tony. And so this mist like explodes and goes across the room here, and you all kind of ready yourself for whatever is going to happen next. And as it starts to clear a little bit, and you see that the mist, like you see almost like hands, like fingers, like shaped out of the mist, it's trying to get out and around these doors. And in a second, like as it seems to find it, there's no way out, all the mist pulls back into where that chair was. And you see a very different creature standing there. Not in the restraints, because by bursting apart into mist and coming back together, it seems to have just avoided that situation. You see a very, very tall, thin, emaciated, vaguely feminine creature. The thing that you saw in Cassie's book before, this woman with these gigantic, like, blue eyes, almost like owl eyes, staring out from, like, sunken, sallow skin. With these like blackened teeth and long, long ropes of hair that appears damp. And she is like moving her head around. There's something almost like a bird about the way she's glancing around the room. And she stands probably 6.5, 7 feet tall, clearly much taller than Reyna. And we're right here in initiative as this happens. So Aoife, you have the first move. You were the first one to react here.
With Aoife not being very combat oriented, she is going to use her action to take the help action to get Lori into that heckin' closet, and will spend her movement to do so and shove him in there for her turn.
Yeah, I will say yes, if you want to use your standard action to do mm-hmm. that, just get him in there. Yeah, because it looks like this thing is about to eat his face, like 100%. He is just like mouth open, wide, terrified, looking at this thing that is just looking at him, staring into his soul. So you manage to shake him out of that and like push him in the closet, slam the doors, and as you do so, this string of horrible fey curses begins to come out, like slithering out of the mouth of this thing. Tony and Aoife, you would understand like these horrible words this thing is saying. Lou, you can tell they're horrible. Whatever she's saying is awful. You don't understand the words, but you're kind of glad you don't.
Aoife shudders as she hears these string of curses come across her mind, and she looks to Tony, and she says, you know, with that recognition that Tony also understands, and she's like, all right, we've got this, and she'll give Tony a bardic inspiration, so get that D8 to spend on attack roll, saving throws, or ability checks.
Thank you. Oh, yay.
Your little felt thing in your pocket glows with the warmth of friendship.
It's fuzzy and warm.
And that will be her turn.
Thank you.
And then I go. My turn. She didn't like that. Not one bit. You took away her toy. She's pissed, obviously. And as she reaches up with her hands, that you can see the fingers are just way too long. And you see like the black gnarled nails that look more like talons growing out of her hands, and she lunges towards you all with that horrible, like, way too quick fae speed that you have now seen a couple times and still hate the fast zombie vibes, as she is going to throw herself at... It's a pretty small room, but Tony and Aoife, you would be standing very close together since that's where Lori was, so I think there's probably going to be one for each of you. Ba-boom! All right, Aoife, 24 to hit you.
All right, as a reaction, she'll cast Silvery Barbs to make her re-roll that and take the result if it's lower.
Oh. Ooh, that is lower. So now it's a 15?
That still hits, but that's okay. Damn it, I will never... I'll never get it to work. But she will use... she will give the Lou, when she makes her next attack roll, she can make it with advantage. But, sorry, so Aoife's gonna eat some damage.
That's okay. I can react and make a melee attack now.
Woo! Yeah, I love this. I love these team reactions. Okay, cool. So go ahead and make your melee attack. So technically, because yours would go off first. So as this thing is lunging at Aoife.
Okay, well, I rolled a 17 plus 7, so 24?
Oh, and tell us now, because your sword is magic. Your sword is magic now, because Lou got you a magic sword. So what does Clive, your sword, look like now? What is the magic? How can we tell? It's a plus one.
Oh, yeah. The magic? Yeah, it kind of like... A weird green neon glow seems to come out from the edges, but it's not actually... It's not really green. The sword isn't green. It's still the same color, but there's a green neon edge around its blade.
Classy. Not too much.
Cool. Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, so that like... As you swing, and this is the first time you've used it too, since it was enchanted. So as you're swinging, maybe even you are a little bit surprised as your sword like lights up, you know, almost with these like green sparks as you're bringing it down on this thing. And it totally does hit. So go ahead and roll me that damage.
9 slashing, or magic damage, I guess.
Nice. Yeah, so... In a very, very satisfying moment, you see, like, as you make contact with the flesh of this thing, and it spurts black water out of it like blood, you have the satisfaction of cutting into a fae, and it deals the full damage. It's amazing. Everything is wonderful.
That's beautiful.
You in business. You in business, Tony! Oh, yes. So as this thing lunges towards Aoife, you see Aoife's spell go off and, you know, this like almost like barbed wire of silver like shoots off. And then you manage to like get a swing in there, but you can't quite stop this thing as it is indeed still clawing at Aoife. This thing rakes its like gross nails across your chest and you are going to take 11 slashing damage. Turning around, this thing very sharply twists its head towards you, Tony. And it is, like, punching at you with another of these clawed hands. So to hit you, a 21.
Oh, yeah. It's a nice, good, clean hit.
Clean hit. A very palpable hit. All right. That is only 5 slashing damage as she does manage to get you and claws, like, the space in between your armor at your neck. And then she looks at you and she, like, twists her head to the side. And again, that very weird, like, bird gesture, and you see one of her locks of hair that have been like kind of swinging back plastered to her body seems to like lift up of its own accord and like wraps like towards you, trying to go for around your neck.
Ugh. Blah. It's just nasty.
Yeah. Yeah.
Someone's wet hair choking me? Just gross.
It's gross enough when it's 2 feet away from me in the shower. I don't need it touching me.
I can't even stand when my own hair is wet and touching my neck.
No, and this is like undead sort of like wet drain hair. So like that's where we're at. Not even just normal hair.
Yeah. Fuck, I want to gag so hard.
True content warning, gross hair. All right, but that's only a 16. Is that going to hit you?
Yeah. I'm still only a baby. I'm still only a 5-level baby.
This hair slithers around your neck and pulls tight. And you can see this thing now has a grasp on you. So you are grappled. So while you are grappled, your speed is 0. So you're not going to be able to move away from her. Also, so you know, on your turn, you can choose to use your standard action to escape a grapple if you wish. But that will take like your action. So instead of attacking, you could choose to do that. But for now, you're just grappled. And that is its turn. Lou, you see all of this happening. Aoife, you see your friend is now caught up in this nasty hair. But Lou, we come to you. What you doing?
Yeah, so I think as this creature is focused up on the two of them, she's going to run up behind it and grab it by the top of its nasty hair and pull its head back and try to slit its throat.
Ooh.
With advantage.
All right.
Which is good because one of those was a 2. So that's going to be a 19 to hit.
Hell yeah, that'll do.
With my cold iron dagger, 17 points of piercing damage.
Owie! You run over and you like throw her head back, you know, and try to slash her throat. And as you do, you see that, again, a spray of black brackish water spray out where like a normal mortal creature would be red with blood. And as you do it, you know, she gasps and makes this horrible rasping sound. But you can see, you know, it starts to just like knit itself back together a bit in that weird way like the Fae do. So you've damaged her, but that was by no means like a killing blow. But hell yeah, good damage.
And then for my bonus action, I'm going to use my offhand weapon and I'm going to try to cut the hair that's holding Tony.
Groovy. Roll to hit.
Thanks, Goyal.
You cool. That is a 13 to hit.
Ah, yes. So you bring down your weapon like on this hair, gonna cut through it. This knife should totally cut through it. No worries. But it's like almost like steel cables as you try to cut through it and your knife like bounces off of it. And your blow just was not hard enough to get through this, whatever the hell this hair is made of.
Girl, what shampoo you using? Your hair's strong as hell.
Damn, this weave, though. It's like, it's made of steel.
Hatred does good things to her hair.
Yeah, you know, I had to look good to take my vengeance. So, you know, whatever. So you are unfortunately unable to affect it this turn. Groovy. All right. Then that brings us down now to Tony. You got some nice wet hair around your neck.
Yeah, we're going to take that on. That can't be happening anymore. She's going to die just from being grossed out.
Mm-hmm. So are you trying to escape from the grapple or are you attacking the hair?
Yeah, I want to escape from the grapple.
So that will be an athletics check. So you're going to go ahead and roll a d20 and then add your athletics skill.
Beautiful. And now I'll use my bardic inspiration.
And since you're using the bardic inspiration on an ability check, you can roll the d8 twice and pick which result you would like to use. Since for her little mote of potential.
Well, good gracious.
Bard shit.
This is going to be stunning because I've already got a dirty 20 now. Oh, and then I rolled a 7.
Ooh.
Ooh. And then an 8. So what is that? Like a 32?
A lot. So, yeah, how do you escape from this grapple? How do you get your way out of the hair?
I want to say, like, I use it as, like, leverage to run up the side of the wall and then, like, twist cool. to the other side. And, like, it's like I twist the arm of the hair and I come out of it.
Cool. That's cool shit. I like it. That's cool. Take some inspiration. Take a point of inspiration. That was cool shit. Ninja shit.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool as hell. So that is good. You are now free. So that was your standard action. But would you like, do you have a bonus action you would like to use? You could assume your stance or if you want to move or luckily everybody is very close to you and will be very close during this fight. So
yeah, because I'm still by Aoife. So I'll stick by Aoife and like take my defensive stance.
All right, so use your bonus action to take your defensive stance, and then can you remind me, Reed, what that do now?
You and allies can see within 5 feet of you, gain a +2 to your armor class. When an ally in that area is hit by an attack or targeted by a spell, you can use your reaction to cause the attacker spell to target you instead.
Oh, shit. Yeah, so that's cool as hell. And then we go now back to the top of the round, and the room is going to start filling with water. You probably didn't notice it in the heat of everything that's happened in the last 6 seconds. But wherever this creature seems to step, you see a pool of that same black water is at her feet. It seems to seep from her. And now all of you are starting to feel at maybe like ankle height if you all are wearing boots, or now finally, you know, past your hooves, Aoife, like you get that uncomfortable feeling as some of that fur around your hoof starts to get wet. And you realize that, yeah, there's about 8 inches or so of this black water that has now been slowly filling up this room here. So the water is going to rise a foot during her turn, which means that all of you, this whole area is now difficult terrain, so you have a half movement. Also, whenever you move, there's something might happen. And that is what I will leave it at, because you can no longer see, like the water is gross, it's like gross swamp water, so you can't see now your feet or what is perhaps on the floor. Fun lair action, and then Aoife, we now come back to you.
Fantastic! Looking at this horrid creature that is attacking Tertoni, getting sliced at by Lou, she is going to concentrate her ire, and she would stomp her little hoof onto the ground, but it's now dampened by the sloshing water. So instead, she just claps her hands, and from it emits this loud thunderous wave as she casts Thunder Wave.
Cool.
And so I need her to make a Constitution saving throw. DC 15.
Ooh, I got a natural 20 on that. Sorry, which is bad for y'all because her constitution is actually garbage. But lucky for me.
So she will save. And so that is 15 half to 7.
The thunder like travels out from you and she is like, like, you know, getting punched by that invisible wall of like thunder damage.
And for her bonus action, she'll give Lou a bardic inspiration.
Ah,
and that's me.
So, let's see. Let's see. What do we want to do here? All right, Tony got out of my hair. But I'm going to have advantage on this next move, as you cannot see the tendrils of hair that are moving underneath the water, but boy are they there, and they are certainly trying to grab you, Lou.
Don't like that.
That's going to be an 18. So you feel, and it's probably not until too late, like something slithering up your leg, almost like a snake, as you see like one of these like long strands of black hair that was hanging down from her hair seems to be moving underneath the water and is crawling up as it goes and just like tightens around your chest. 19 plus 3 is 22 slashing damage as this is like crawling up your body and like constricting. And again, it's like that feeling of steel wire or something. It is sharp as it is pressing into you and wrapping you in its grasp. All right. And she is not fucking around for her next attack here. She leans over. And again, with that lightning speed, Lou, now that you're like in her grasp and like right up in her face, her face like looms and comes at you, and like she just grabs you on either side of the face and like kisses you deeply. And like you feel the cold, just like it's like kissing a wet fish. Like this woman has been, you know, drowned and like as you, but you can't pull away as you feel your breath starting to be like pulled out of your body, and like you fight and struggle against it, but like some irrational part of your brain is like freaking out as this is happening to you, and you feel your strength being drained away from you. Please make me a charisma saving throw.
Oh no.
Spend that D8.
I'm gonna, oh wait, that's it.
You'll get temp HP.
That's true. Okay, so that's gonna be an 18.
All right, did you spend your...
I did.
How many temp HP do she get?
So the amount that is rolled on the Bardic Inspiration die plus my charisma, which is 4.
Oh, okay. Well, I only rolled a 1 on the die, so thank you for that fun.
Thank you. So 5. Hey, that's nothing to spit at. What is it in you that manages to, like, resist? Because if you had failed, like, literally your strength ability score would have been decreased, like, actually drained away from you. So what? How do you resist this? How do you fight this?
I think she's just overall immensely horrified because she over the past couple days, she's been thinking about smooching. This was not the smooch that she wanted or consented to. So I think she's just like, mind, no, this is not fucking happening right now.
I've been waiting for this for a long time and this is not it. This is not, I do not accept this.
No.
This will not be me, my re-entry back into the dating pool. No, sirree. All right.
Dating pool.
I will not settle.
take away your inspiration. So, and after what seems like an eternity, this thing finally, like, lets go of your face. And it looks at you and you can see its, like, eyebrows knit down in frustration as it looks at you. And you don't seem to be affected by it and it kind of throws your face away. So you're like... You're still, like, caught in its hair, but it seems done with you. It's frustrated by that.
She just, like, wipes her mouth. She's like, fuck, that was, like, week-old sashimi. Ugh.
So gross. I'm sorry, Nassim. This is, like, the... Please don't vomit. Then we're going to move to Lou. You get to react to this. Other than that hot, spicy take.
I would like to stab a bitch.
Fair.
All right. She's gonna immediately go in and try to give her a slashy here. That's not gonna do it because that is a 9. No. And then she's going to just completely whiff if she's still like spitting.
Yeah, like, ew, no, like, no.
And come back around as a bonus action and she's going to trigger her blade, her sonic blade, as she presses a button just on the edge of her sleeve, and suddenly, like, this very high-pitched, almost inaudible noise starts going around the cabin, and she'll go back in to slash again.
All right. With advantage.
Thank God. Okay. I got a 1 the first one!
Well, advantage because of the blade, right? Because she hasn't been struck by it before.
Yeah. And so that is going to be a 19 to hit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Nobody expects Sonic Blade.
Well, now they will. Let's see. 16 points of thunder. Ooh. Damage.
Oh, shit. Damn. Ow. So you again, hit this creature with thunder. And after being smacked by Aoife's thunder, like, stomp move, too, this thing is starting to look very haggard. It's even more, like... twisted and its back is kind of hunched over. It's almost like you've been, you know, punching a corpse that's slowly breaking down as you are hitting it blow for blow. So you are certainly making progress. You're not sure how much longer this thing has. Anything else for you, Lou?
Nah, that's it.
All right. Then Tony, it's your turn as you, like, land from your backflip.
I feel like since it's starting to show signs of weakness, maybe we can start to try and reason with it a little. And before making any moves, we'll try, like, a bit of, I don't know, animal handling, I guess?
No, that wouldn't be I would say persuasion or intimidation would be more relevant.
I am not persuasive, so we're gonna scare it.
Do what I say! Okay, what are you saying to it? How are you intimidating it?
With my sword pointed and ready, and having just beautifully landed my sidewall backflip turn thing, I'll say, Mare, we have you surrounded. You are not leaving this place. Tell us what you want, or we'll be forced to do even greater damage.
Go ahead and make your roll.
Ooh, I'm going to use that inspiration to reroll that. 17.
Okay, that's pretty damn good. Despite the fact that it's looking right now at Lou, right, it just, like, kissed her, you hear, like, a horrible, like, crack, crack, crack as, like, the bones kind of rearrange in her neck and she, like, is able to look back over her shoulder at you, turning her head almost, you know, 180 around and staring at you with those eyes and her head hangs slightly to the side. And she lets out a hiss and for the first time speaks a word as she is looking at you. She is speaking in Sylvan and says,
"They must be punished. They killed me. They killed me."
"Your death was an accident. And no one is to blame for the horrible tragedy that you had to face. And he is sorry."
"Men. Men are liars. He must have told you that lie as well. I will not stop until they all suffer."
She still hasn't attacked, though. Is there anything else you would like to say to her?
I mean, I believe her. I believe she's not going to stop. I think she just wants Lori dead, and I can't let that happen. But I also can't really kill her.
Yeah, she's still clearly maybe not weak enough to let go of Reyna, because you haven't seen Reyna reappear yet.
Okay. Well, I guess we have nothing left to talk about. And I'll take a swing.
I tried!
19 to hit.
Hell yeah. 19 is y'all's golden number. That's
a good
tonight.
Number. I'm not mad at that.
I'm not mad about it.
And that is 12 slashing magical damage.
So you deal another, like, horrendous blow against this creature, and you can see, I mean, its chest is, like, in tatters from, like, the slashes and the bruises. Again, you're hearing the cracking of bones as it seems to have trouble maintaining this form.
Oh, and that's going to be fucking 23 to hit.
Oh my god, yeah, okay. Roll that damage.
Ooh, and that's another 12 damage.
Yeah, so you bring down your sword once again across this thing, and what is the swing that, like, breaks this creature?
I think going, like, up from below, kind of lodging Clyde into its ribs at an upward angle.
Yeah, yeah. And because the form is, like, kind of jagged and, like, weird at this point, yeah, you catch it right in the emaciated rib cage and drag it up and through, and there's a horrible scream, and you see it, like, pouring out of the distended jaw of this creature, just, like, water begins to pour. And this mist, like, seeps around, and once again, like, it kind of consumes, explodes in the room, and you're like, ugh, like, trying to get a view, and you hear, like, a splashing sound as a body drops to the ground. And standing, hovering above it once the mist recedes, is this creature again, but almost like a ghostly version. It doesn't seem quite material, the same woman standing over, and you see the body that has dropped in the ground. It now in the water, kind of half submerged, seems to be in a very unconscious Reyna.
I don't think I can. I can still move, can't I?
Yeah, and we can be, like, out of initiative for this moment here. So essentially, like, until she can't physically attack you until she is able to, like, reincorporate. So really quickly, what are you all doing before this thing gets a chance to
get Reyna to the closet?
Yeah. In a closet. Okay. And Lori, once you, like, fling open the closet doors, he's, like, in there, just, like, closed. His eyes are closed, and he's just trying not to hear everything he's been hearing.
Yeah. All right. Now we can try this again. You're not getting out of this place, and I'm not letting you harm someone I love. Tell us what you want. How can we put you to rest?
Yeah, and this thing, it's doing that thing again, like you saw when Reyna was first bound, where it seems to, like, twist and, like, just, it's so frustrated as it looks around, and it runs very quickly, and it's not really on legs, but it's like a ghost that's, like, throwing itself. It slams against the windows and against the doors, like, trying to get out, but, like, it totally futile. And you see it bounces around a couple more times, letting out this horrible shrieking sound before it kind of throws itself, like, down and looks up at you. And even though most of it is, like, that ghostly, almost see-through kind of mist form, the blue of its eyes is still very real and very intense as it looks back up at you, and it says,
"See me. See me. I must be seen."
Uncle Lori, Tony's gonna go to the closet and ask him to come out.
Yeah, what are you doing to get him out? He doesn't seem to want to go. He's terrified.
He can talk from the closet.
No, Uncle Lori, I know you have some things you want to say, about what you did and what you could have done. And I think you should say it to her.
I can't. It's not her. That thing, it's not. That isn't Mina.
I don't think Mina will be at rest until you do, even if it's not her. And neither will your son.
And he takes a few more deep breaths and puts a steadying hand out on your shoulder.
I've got my arm around him, too, and I'm helping him walk up.
Yeah, and, you know, he steps down out of the closet and, like, sinks his feet into the black water below. And immediately as he, like, passes over the line, you know, the protective line, this thing, the ghost of this thing, like, almost like a cat, like, raises its hackles, like, from all fours, staring at him, says,
You left me in the dark to float and be forgotten.
He looks and just looks at you again, Tony, and says, I am so sorry. I am so sorry. I did see you, and I was a coward. I didn't tell anyone. I saw you there dead, and it broke my heart. But I didn't tell anyone. I'm so sorry. Mina, if you're in there, I am so sorry for everything. The creature, you know, again, continues to, like, kind of hiss and, like, writhe. And after he says, he just keeps kind of repeating, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. She seems to stop. And she looks at you, Tony, and says,
You smell of his blood. Tell me, do you believe him? Should I believe him?
I do believe him. He knows how much he is. Hurt you and hurt other people that he loves, including me, his own flesh and blood, in this mistake. And I know he's going to carry that pain for the rest of his life. And that's, I think, a fit punishment.
Upon hearing that, she kind of uncrumples from the floor and, like, walks over towards him all hunched and strange, and she gets really, really close, and you can see he goes, like, rigid, but doesn't move, and, like, continues to look at her as she kind of crawls up and, like, stares at him and takes, like, a deep sniff.
You have suffered, haven't you? I suppose you are sincere. If this one vouches for you, I have guarded Mina's soul for quite some time. I suppose now I can let it go.
Lori says, please. She was a wonderful woman. Please, whatever it takes, if you take whatever you need, have me, whatever you need, if I have to die, that's fine, just let her go. And the creature, like, crunches its neck again.
This is sufficient.
And she leans in and, like, kisses him again in that same way she did to you, Lou. And you can see, like, he starts to, like, look pale and, like, drawn as she continues to, like, hold on to him. As he kind of collapses against her, she sort of, like, holds him as she does so, seeming to, like, recover some of her strength, and drops him onto the ground. Once again, like, the image of her gets really, really hazy and misty. As you can see, like, her features kind of shift and morph and, like, start to change into something else. And you see a woman standing there, looks an awful lot like Reyna, different, older, still drenching wet, but, like, in kind of a cloak and, like, you know, an outfit perhaps a young woman might wear to sneak out to see a lover in the dead of night. And with those same blue eyes, she kind of surveys you all. Thank you.
I'm going to help lift Lori off the ground and make sure he's awake and conscious to see what's happening.
Yeah, and he looks, you know, he looks drawn and shitty, but, like, she left him alive. And he's, yeah, like, looking up just in wonder. He says, Mina? And she looks down at him and kind of smiles. Not quite, but close enough. Thank you, my dear, for telling the truth. Before I go, you all have done me a great service. To repay the favor, I have two things to offer you. Make your choice. Either a treasure you greatly desire, or a warning that you must heed. Which do you choose?
And she's looking at you, the party.
You can all chat about it as people too, if you wish.
I'm going with a warning in my gut.
I feel like we know the shitty shit that's coming somewhat, kind of, with the warning, because we know that all this, like, fae stuff has been happening since we gave the book to the Weird Sisters. But I don't really have a strong preference. I mean, I want them both, but we can have one.
Aoife will definitely default to Tony's judgment, since this case is close to Tony's heart.
I agree.
Well, I mean, mostly, I don't have a treasure that I'm seeking. So if there's one that you have in mind, I would suggest you could pitch it, at least. But if you don't, it doesn't seem like either of you seem to have something in mind. So that's why I think we should go with a warning. It could be useful with all the weird fae shit that's still yet to come our way.
And I will tell you, she has a specific treasure in mind, so it wouldn't be like, I want this.
Oh, okay.
So she's either going to give you something that one of you greatly desires, or a warning of things to come.
Well, is it like a physical thing she's going to give us?
I can say yes, but she hasn't clarified what that is.
Warning's fine, I would suppose. Let's do warning.
Yeah. Please, we would like whatever warning you have to give us.
And she turns her head and looks straight at you, Lou, as she says, something has risen from the ocean depths, a heart made to beat within a dead chest, and with no gods to hear her prayer, she remains lost, but now to despair. Only the power of the king unseen can free her from the witch's queen. And she nods to you all. And leans down one more time and looks at Lori and kind of like touches like a ghostly hand to his cheek. And he closes his eyes. And she disappears. Evaporates.
Tony's gonna sit down next to her uncle and just give him a really tight, long squeeze.
Yeah. And he's crying and holds you. And the water also, as you saw before, like, during that attack, just seems to, like, dry up, you know, like a sudden, like, invisible heat lamp is just, and the room is returned to just how it was, almost like nothing happened.
Aoife will go to run and check on Reyna.
Yeah, and Reyna, who was definitely out cold for the last, you know, missed this final interaction, as you kind of shake her and look at her, she like, opens her eyes. It was like she's waking up from a nap, like, nothing happened. She's like, What's going on? How did I get over here? She seems fine.
Aoife will ask her, we'll tell her, now you shouldn't ask questions that you don't want the answers to. But you are fine, and you are cured of your possession.
No more waking up in strange places with no more memory of what happened?
This should be the last time unless you've drunk too much.
All right, great. Then, if you don't mind, I will not ask any more of those questions. As long as you get me out of here, it's cold, and this has all been very weird.
I've got two friends outside who can take you back and make sure you get tucked into bed. Best you get a good sleep before the events of tomorrow.
Right, a wedding. She looks at all of you. Thank you, I suppose.
Lou's just standing there, blank face for a second, and just turns heel and leaves the room.
Did I say something? Reyna says, and like,
Aoife shakes her head.
All right. You all can decide what you want to do with the rest of the night. You seem to have banished this creature, or it's gone, or helped it find peace. You know, bright and early tomorrow, a big-ass festival is going to start, and you all have a wedding to go to. But I suppose in the meantime, you three, what is the evening? Where are you going, Lou? After you storm out, let's start with you. Where is Lou going? What is Lou doing?
Lou just needs to leave the room for a second, and she kind of like goes around the edge of the cottage to like be just kind of out of sight for a second. And she takes out her notepad that she always has with her, and she just like starts writing down exactly what the mayor had said, And she's just like starts breathing really heavily and has to like slow down her breath for a second and close her eyes and keeps reading it over and over, just realizing suddenly that she's crying.
Yeah. So Lou storms out, and I think really quickly, you know, you can, Eva and Tony, you can hand off, you know, Reyna to Cassie and Rook, who are like, you know, Rook asks a million questions immediately and like, it's fine. And Cassie's like, read the room, Rook. Like, it's cool. We'll get her. There we go. Action, Rook. And like, kind of, you know, makes Rook go off with her to corral her somewhere else. So Reyna is fine. So Aoife and Tony, if you all want to deal with Lou, say anything, you might hear some, I don't know, ugly crying coming from the side of the...
I don't think Tony spends the rest of the day with the other two. She'll probably just be with her family and have some nice family time.
Yeah, so you can escort, you know, Lori back.
Yeah.
Because your dad was there for the conversation and had some idea, so he's, like, on the shore immediately, you know, wraps you both in blankets and, like, hugs and shoving food into your face and whatever it takes.
Mm-hmm. Try and make Lori feel a little bit more normal again, because I know that's not going to happen, but just be around other people who do still love him.
And then Aoife, what are you up to?
I think seeing Tony go through this harrowing experience with her family after making sure that Reyna gets safely up into bed, Aoife's gonna head back to the chicken hut that we parked, and, you know, mile outside of the grounds of the house, and reminded of her own family, she is going to sit down and write a letter to her parents, because they wrote her a letter, and boy, did she get busy in the last month and a half or so and didn't reply.
Boy, has it been a busy goddamn month. Sure has. Sure has. But luckily, if anyone will understand what it's like to have a busy, all-consuming career, it is your parents. So you know they'd never guilt you about it. Cool. Let's save the letter for the very end of the episode, but I know you have a letter to read there, so I'll save that in just a moment. So, yeah, you go back to the hut, get settled, and, you know, write to your family. Lou, where do you go after this? You look at what you've written. I'm assuming you have some assumptions about what this might be.
I think that she kind of gathers herself in the time that she has as everybody kind of picks up the rest of the pieces of everything that we've just been working on so hard. And she eventually makes her way back to the mainland, so to speak, I guess, and will just kind of sit herself on her bed in the tent, and she just starts writing. Just trying to, like, break each part of what she'd heard into sections and try to analyze it and put connections back to, like, what she saw in her dream of Jada in her last moments of life, is just, like, tapping her pen nervously on her notebook, going through any possible thing that she can think of and what connections she can reach out to try to get more information, because for the first time in 10 years, like, she has something. And that's the only thing that's taking up her mind right now.
And luckily, you know, Tony's off with her family, and, you know, Aoife has gone back to write letters back in the hut. So you're all alone and left to your thoughts until they're interrupted sometime later, who knows how long, by, like, a knocking sound. You know, that same, like, kind of cursory, like, slap. Slap knock that happens, and you see Cassie kind of sticks her head in the tent, like, oh, hey, okay, so one of you is here. Hey, she, like, gets into the room, and she seems, like, excited, and, you know, like, she's been running around and stuff, and she kind of takes one look, like, clocks you, and she's like, how did it go?
Lou just wipes her eye, and she's like, Reyna's fine. Everybody's safe. Of course. You come in. This is really awkward.
She kind of rushes up. She's like, hey, are you okay? And she, like, sits down next to you and is like, is there anything I can do?
Probably yes, but at the same time, it does not feel appropriate to ask you to help me in this regard. But yeah. She takes a deep breath and she's like, but can't not. So this is, I want you to know before I say anything, like, I'm not comfortable asking and telling you this right now. But the mayor, she gave us a gift in return for helping sort everything out. And she told us this rhyme poem, I don't know, but I'm pretty sure that it's about my fiance and where she's been since I lost her. And I don't know, it's 10 years ago, you know, and I don't know if there's even a thing anymore or whatever it is, but I know that she's a good person, and if she's been lost in some way, she deserves to be found. And you just have all this knowledge, and I don't know what I'm doing with the Fae and fucking riddles. I've never been artistically talented in this sort of puzzle, and I think you're so great, and you're the first person who's gotten me excited in a long time, and it just...
And she's gonna lean in. She puts two hands on either side of your face and, like, kisses you very, very gently, just to kind of interrupt. And she'll, like, you know, very gently, not, like, forcing anything hard on you, you know. And she, like, is really close to your face and puts a hand on the side and kind of, like, tucks some of your hair behind your ear. Hey, it's gonna be okay. We'll figure it out.
And she'll reach her arms out and just give her a tight hug.
And she does, and, you know, she embraces you and holds you close and is, like, kind of, you know, stroking your hair in a very, like, nice and calming way. Listen, it's what I do. I help people. And I realize this is all very complicated. Probably. But I don't know. I'm not really the type of person to, I guess, wait on something that could or could not happen or whatever. All we have is right now, and all we have is this scrap of information. We don't even know if this is really about what you think it is. She leans back and takes your hands in hers and says, I think probably the best thing to do is just, I don't know, live for right now. And if when we see what this means, we'll see what this means. And we'll cross that bridge when we come to it, okay?
Yeah. You're really special.
You're pretty damn special, too. So I keep following you around. You got a great butt. Just, like, really great. Yeah. And she she laughs and, you know, kind of hugs you again. I mean, I guess while we're talking about, you know, future stuff, and I know it's not big or whatever, but, I mean, I do have some, like, business that I need to wrap up, you know, in Phelan, but, like, after that, I mean, if you want to come visit, or if you need someone around, or, you know, I'd like to keep doing this, you know, for however long we can do this.
I try to make it a point to give people what they want, and if this badonkadonk is something you're oh my god, I just said badonkadonk. Okay,
you did. You really just did say that.
Oh.
So romantic.
It was better than wagon I'm dragging. I don't fucking know. But thank you. And she'll lean back in and give her another soft kiss and be like, and thank you for taking things at a pace that feels good.
Of course. I mean, if you do need anything else, I have nowhere to go tonight. And, I mean, my bed is very far on the other side, and nobody else seems to be here. Just, you know, if that's whatever level of comfort you require, I am here. I am your willing servant.
I think I could use a cuddle.
And she'll curl up with you. And more if you want or not. She's at the open. Clearly the option is there for you.
I think Lou is good with just a cuddle for right now.
Then she'll be big spoon.
Oh.
And hold you through the night. And then we come to the next day. So you all spend your time doing what you gotta do. hanging out with family, writing letters, thinking about past relationships, previous ones, the ones that are dead and buried, the ones that recently were buried, and the ones that are still to come, the ones that won't stay buried. As the dawn finally comes and the weather, that freak weather storm, has cleared up, and immediately, like, I think all of you are in, like, woken up, regardless of where you are, by the sounds of merriment, as now the festival is set up, so Oxia is in full swing, and just as promised, like, hundreds of people from the capital have come. Obviously a ton of Eldrin, but, like, most of these people are from Phelan, so it's a very metropolis city, so people of all different, you know, races, species, genders, types, kids, you know, adults, families come to enjoy this, like, it's basically like a giant county fair sort of feeling, and it's all, like, open air, you know, food stands and music everywhere you turn, and just, like, gorgeous displays, events throughout the day. And you can tell, too, your uncle, your dad has, like, made it his mission to basically, like, stay by his brother's side throughout the day, and it's, like, doing that stupid thing he does where it's, like, wearing you down, right, over the course of the day with, like, outrageous jokes and, you know, getting food and making him play games and forcing him outside and whatever, and you even see him crack a smile at least once during the day. It's nice. It's a nice change of pace. I don't think any of you have ever really been to one of these, like, gigantic kind of festivals. I mean, probably in Shasiana they have sort of similar mm-hmm. events, but this is a uniquely Phelan tradition for sure. And so the day passes and it's wonderful. Everyone seems to be having a good time. And then as the sun eventually begins to set, people seem to start gathering, assembling, like, right in front of Lily Hall, which is, like, where they've constructed the largest bonfire of all. Because, again, Oxia is celebrating the heat of summer, so there's lots of fire and torches and, you know, cool, yeah, fireworks, lightning, like, all this kind of cool shit. So everybody assembles around this big bonfire, and you can see, like, this big constructed platform wreathed in beautiful garlands that's been set outside as people are being pulled together for this wedding that is about to happen.
Yeah, I want to see my cousin get married.
Hell yeah, I bet there's an open bar.
Oh, hell yeah, there's an open bar. So clearly, like, you don't interact with most of the family, certainly not the bride or groom, or, you know, the Olyanas have been just, like, deep in preparations all day, right? Like, waiting for the wedding. But everywhere you go, you eat for free, you drink for free. They are clearly taking care of you. This is their sign of thanks.
Was there also a bounty, though? As it was a...
Yes. Yes, you will also be handsomely paid. So on top of all of that, you will get a 5,000 gold piece reward.
Okay.
For doing this.
Oh my god.
Let's talk about gold plates again here. Our chest plates again.
Yes. And this, I think Rook probably brings it to you at some point, like during the day. She'll find you all, and she's got, like, this sack of fucking coins, and she's going, she's, like, holding it and walks up to you all. Kind of jingles it as she approaches. This family's loaded, she says, and, like, holds this fat sack. You can hear the coins on the far side of it.
Get it, Enzo.
So, yes, you all have that gorgeous reward. And have any of you seen an Eldrin wedding?
Aoife's just, like, read about them in the newspaper and, like, makes little clippings because they always have, like, pictures of what the bride and groom are wearing.
I think that Lou's never seen one, but she knows about them, because when she was prepping for her wedding, she was, like, looking at every single thing, like, we're gonna make it mm-hmm. our own, like...
Yeah. Yes, and so for Oxia, things are a little bit different, because this is one of the most popular holidays in which to get married. It's considered, like, really good luck, mostly because in the Eldrin mythology, this is the time when, again, the mother and the father, who are the two, like, progenitor gods of the Eldrin, kind of trade places. It's like a handoff. It's a sharing of duties. So it's a day very much about partnership and, like, working together and, you know, that kind of people coming together to make the world, the universe work, right? In the Eldrin mythology. These weddings are always held outside in front of one of these gorgeous bonfires, as you can see here. And when people start to assemble, you can get, like, a nice space towards the front. And when everybody is, like, settled, you know, and then the whispering kind of, like, dims down, some gorgeous music starts to play. Coming out of the main house, you see the couple, And they are dressed in the traditional wedding colors of the Eldrin. So the bride wears gold, which is like the mother's primary color. And then the groom wears silver. So the two of them are stepping down together out of the house. They kind of split to either side of the stage and go and stand with their respective families. And then you see two individuals, two priests, come out. A priest, an Eldrin priest that represents the mother, and the Eldrin priest that represents the father. And they have these like gorgeous, almost like geometric masks that they wear, like over their face as they assume these kind of roles and step up. And the priestess dressed as the mother is wearing like gorgeous robes of red and gold, and the father is wearing blue and silver. And they come up and they meet on the stage, and the mother speaks out to the crowd and says, "Welcome, everyone. It is always a glorious day when our children find someone with which they can share their lives. For all things are made better by love, by community, and by partnerships. Even we," and the mother, priestess, in the role of the mother, reaches her hand out to the father, and they clasp both hands together. "For even gods have much to do and a very short time in which to do it. And sharing our burdens, sharing our joys, makes all things easier." And then the father begins to speak. "These two have come together and are bonding not only with each other, but their families, unifying. And we are pleased and privileged to share their love with everyone here today." And reaches out his hand and everyone's like, yay, you know, clapping as they are addressing the crowd here. And both these priests kind of separate and bring up their respective, the bride and groom, who you can see Enzo and Reyna are just beaming at one another. And Enzo, for the first time in what looks like weeks, probably got a good night of sleep. So he's back to that, you know, that handsome-faced kid, basically, that you've always, you know, been familiar with, Tony. And as they're like standing across from each other with these two priests on either side, the mother begins to speak once again. "The families have decided to create their own of the traditional gifts. So please, come forward. The Olianas, what do you offer your daughter?" And they step up and Wilhelm kind of like very proudly comes up. And you see he takes something from a servant, and it's a sword that he has, and he like unsheathes it and puts it like on this nice pillow, and the sword is just absolutely gorgeous, the best money can buy, seemingly like made of just steel and like gem crusted, like just goddamn beautiful, and walks up and hands it off to Reyna, who takes it, kind of holds it out, and Enzo will actually kneel in front of her, and she taps both sides of his shoulders almost like in a knighting gesture as she says, and this seems to be like a rehearsed thing that maybe all Eldrin say, "With this weapon of force, I promise to be the spark that instigates and drives all we do together. I promise to be the source of inspiration and strength in times that are bad and times that are good. And together, I promise you can trust your heart to me, and I will always make it safe for you to create, to endure, to feel, and to fight. This I promise to you, my love." And he, like, stands up. And then your uncle is going to come up to him and gives a, it's like a scroll. And it's one of these, like, illuminated manuscript style with, like, the gorgeous, you know, hand-carved wood and, like, beautiful paper that you can see just, like, all the different inks and, like, gilding on it. As he walks up and hands it off to Enzo, who smiles, and they do, like, the, you know, the push each other's shoulder, like, man emotions, and hands it off, and Enzo will look over and kind of bows to Reyna and opens the scroll, showing it so she could read it. And he says, "I promise to approach our relationship with reason. Reason will temper all we do and inform all we can do together. I promise that while you are the spark, I will help guide our course. I promise to approach our relationship with knowledge and wisdom, and I will ensure that you can always trust your head, and we can use it together to consider, to plan, to judge, and to seek. This I swear to you, my love." and they exchange gifts and then kind of stand up and kiss one another. And the two priests, like, clap, and, you know, they have a few other words. At this point, everybody just fucking erupts into, like, cheering.
Hell yeah!
And there are fireworks that start going off, because this obviously was happening at sunset, so it's fucking gorgeous. And then somebody's like, let's bring out the wine! And then there are giant barrels that are uncorked, and champagne starts to flow, and just the couple just, like, so fucking in love with one another, and... it's so nice. Even Lori looks happy, and your dad is ecstatic that everyone's ecstatic, and you have a fucking wonderful, wonderful time.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. What's like a fun, just real quick, as we're wrapping up, what's a fun thing you make sure to do at the wedding? This giant freaking party that's happening.
I get my family together and I pull Lou and Aoife into this like circular dance that like we do back home in our tribe around like the wine specifically.
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah. The celebration of wine dance. Yes. And, you know, Enzo is there, and, like, he, you know, Reyna obviously is trying her best, but they also, Enzo is like, come on, like, dad, mom, pulls in, you know, Wilhelm and Ariadne, you're, like, trying to do the dance as well, like, get in on this, like, family circle. You all are our family now, bonded together, so it's a hot mess, but it's a fun hot mess. Aoife, what's one thing you're sure to do during this wedding?
Oh, man. Oh, Lord. She goes around and she asks for, like, for each of the women that she sees at the party whose dresses or anything, outfits she adores, she's like, who designed that for you? She just, like, she gets all the deets. She's like, I love what you're wearing.
Oh, man. And they will fucking tell you. Yeah, because they're also from Phelan, which is, like, high fashion capital of the empire. So they're like, oh, I had this dress commissioned from this, my personal seamstress who works for so-and-so. Like, yes. And you can see also some other people. Because also, even, like, the gentlemen as well. Like, all Eldrin are, like, so into their fashion. So all these nobles, like, kind of swarm and start, like, catty-fighting with each other, too. Being like, well, I had my dress designed by meh. My suit was designed by meh. Yeah.
Gets the hot goss on the high fashion scene.
Oh, yeah. And then, Lou, what is one thing you make sure to do, other than definitely dancing with Cassie, because she's going to make that happen?
Oh, yeah. Lots of dancing with Cassie. She's actually a decent dancer because she's dexterous, so she picks up on things quick.
Hell but yeah.
After the whole wine dance, she is more drunk than you have ever seen her. And she is just...
There was a lot of drinking involved in the wine dance. I do love that, yes.
And she's just over by, like, the expansive dessert table, and she picks up a cannoli and is just snort laughing so loud, like, uncontrollably drunk laughing. She's, like, falling over. And she, like, every because, time people like,
do
are,
you
like,
get it yet?
And she's like, it's like there's, it's like hot, so like the cream's just kind of like spilling. Yeah. She's like, I get it.
Amazing. With a lovely night, you have officially completed this mission. You have laid a spirit to rest. You have helped two kids find love. And as the next day rolls on with a little bit of a hangover, you know, you all, Tony, you can say your farewells to your family since Reyna is going to be traveling back now with your family. So your dad has agreed to, like, help escort and, you know, get her settled a little bit in her new life before she has to dive in fully. So there's lots of fun farewells. And, you know, your dad takes some time, especially to say, like, thank you. And, like, thank you for looking out for the family. And I'm so glad that this is all okay. And you have become so, I mean, I always knew you would be, but so very impressive.
Yeah, I know. Thanks, Dad.
Your mother would be so proud of you. She's going to be so proud of you.
Well, tell her I miss her, and she should have come, but I'm glad you guys were here. It was a weird and scary, but a good surprise.
I'm just really glad that in the end it all turned out okay. And it wouldn't have if it wasn't for you and your friends. I don't know what we would have done. It's good to know, perhaps even selfishly, that there are people like you out there. It makes me really proud. He'll come over and picks you up, like, all of you, and you're like that spine-cracking bear hug. He's like, thank you for taking such good care of my daughter. You have to come visit. And, like, shakes you a little bit.
I'll come visit. It's my pleasure. Holy crap, I didn't realize my back had that crick in it. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
Please put me down.
And then he's like, right. I need to ask. He puts you down and goes over. And Aoife, thank you for everything you've done. And like claps your hands in his, but like his, basically your whole arm, like in his giant hands. As he's like kind of shaking your hands up and down.
I know. Her tiny, tiny little hand is just completely
like,
enraptured.
Yeah, it's like the size of his like pointer finger. Yeah. And he's like, thank you for taking care of my daughter. Well, till next time, kid. I love you. I love you so much.
I love you too, Papa. I'm just going to squeeze the hell out of him. And Gio.
Gio lets out a but like it doesn't matter because you two are so fierce with the Gio sandwich. And so the goodbyes are made and everybody rolls off and people are starting to, you know, break down the Oxia Festival. And that's where we're going to end our episode proper for today, the action at least. But we do have that letter that we're going to read as you all make your way back to the hut for whatever adventure comes next. And Aoife, why don't you go ahead and read us this letter that you have written?
Hi, yes. And we get to level up.
Hell yeah, we do. I was going to say it though, but yes, we are going to level. So after this, yes, that was the official announcement. Congratulations. You have successfully
level
done
six.
Your first like full ass like bounty going into the mortal realm, like, taking down a fae. It went great. You all did great. You investigated, you learned a lot. It was all wonderful.
We done did it.
It's all wonderful. You done did it. Have a level. Good job.
Go team. So as Aoife had departed from her two friends as the evening was closing back to the chicken hut, and she recalled the letter that she had received from her dad, who is definitely the parent that she's definitely more kind of connected to. I think she takes after her dad in a lot of ways. And so she recalls this letter that she received to him, a letter that had said that he and her mom were in Ashtar for where the Checkered Follies had taken them next and doing work there. And she had really wanted to go, but that was just after the whole debacle with Whistler. And so she felt like she couldn't. And she was even afraid to write a letter back for fear it might be intercepted or read or anything. And so, but having seen, you know, Tony go through this with her family, she just couldn't hold it back anymore. And so sat down to write a letter to her parents that reads, Dear Ma and Da, I got your letter saying that you were in Ashtar. I'm sorry I haven't written back. It's been a real whirlwind this past month. I've made some great friends while doing some work in one of the military camps by the Feywalk jungle, and we've been traveling together ever since. While we were in the military camp, we helped a friend who had been captured by some Fey and began turning into a plant zombie-like creature. Afterwards, we were interrogated by this Krillin Whistler, who insisted we were to go to the Krillin Order with him for additional questioning. He threatened my life, and so my friends and I abandoned the camp for the wilds. We were worried he might be after us, maybe even have a bounty out on us, but we've recently heard that the Krillins are off the map. What do you know about the Krillins or the situation in Ashtar? I know that's where you said you last were. I would have come to visit you soon after I heard you were there, but we were worried that we would be caught by that awful jerk face. With all that, you're probably worried sick about me, but please don't worry. I've got two incredibly strong and capable and badass friends, and we all look out for one another. I've gotten much better at my healing magic, and I've even gotten a post at a dress shop in a fae city called Coven. I've been enjoying my time in the wilds, and it's brought me so much inspiration, though I still haven't met another satyr, though. I'm debuting 5 pieces at the Chasiana Student Showcase, and I would absolutely love for the entire family to be there, to be all together for the first time in a while. All my pieces are inspired by my friends and by what I've seen and experienced on my very first adventure. I miss you both so dearly, and I hope we can meet up soon. I know you'd absolutely love my friends. Lou is very much like you, Ma, and Tony and Dahl will get along famously. Maybe if you both come to Coven, you can even meet my new boyfriend, Kel. Don't worry, Dahl, it's not serious. All the love in the world, Aoife. And attached is a flyer for the Chaciona Student Showcase and a sketch of Aoife, Lou, and Tony that she has made.
Oh, amazing.
That was cute.
Very cool. And because magic, you are actually going to get a letter back. The letter you get back is odd. It seems like very flat, like almost greeting card, sort of like, Dear Aoife, it is so good to hear you are well. Your mother and I are doing well. A little bit strange. And as you're reading it, something weird kind of catches your eye. It's like a P.S. Like, I've been working on something. What do you think? And like, it's a little bar of music, like with notes.
Interesting.
What is Aoife's impression here?
So I think knowing that her dad is, you know, this is a very well-known composer and loves composing music, and he taught her to play a bunch of instruments, though she didn't really like playing. But I think seeing those like a few bars of notes would definitely clue her into something for sure.
Yeah, and so yeah, you're looking at that and you're like, okay, and you know music notes, you know, like, okay, that's a C note, that's a G note, you know, whatever, as you're like going and looking through. And then as you see on the paper too, you see these odd little dots, like in some places, almost like just to the eye, like you didn't notice them at first, but like weird like ink splotches. And kind of when you like realize if you were to put the paper together, you see another bar of these notes.
Oh yeah, yeah. She's like fastidiously folding these like sharp corners to see to align these certain things.
So you realize your father has written this letter to you in code, like using the notes, and like as you translate the notes to letters, a very sort of disturbing message is laid out for you. It reads, Glad to hear you are safe. We have heard strange things about the Karelins. Chess is currently searching for an old friend, a Karelin by the name of Saye Nor, who was one of several Karelins kidnapped by Fae when portals appeared. Can't share more. Meet us soon in Fae Lin. And then you see there's like a clipping that's been included with your showcase, right? Like he sent it back to you. So it's safe to assume maybe your parents will be there.
Ooh. And that is the episode, everybody.
Thank you so much for listening to episode 31. My goodness, we have some stuff.
My whole body just like turned to stone when you said that. I was like, Saya. Is she okay?
Pulled into a portal. Final.
She's a fucking badass. She'll be okay. She'll save us.
Chess is looking for you, which means Fair is probably looking for, I mean, Saye. So, you know, that's, you know, fine. You got a demigod on it. You're fine.
Anyway,
thank you all so much for being here. This was super fun. I'm so glad everything turned out well. Other than some future nonsense.
Me too. That's a
problem for future party. How you all doing? How you all feeling? We just, like, that was our first kind of, like, contained bounty hunter arc. So we're probably going to be doing several more, like, adventures in a sequence like this. Where, like, there's a fae, right? And you get down to the bottom of it. The mysteries solve it. I promise the next one won't be as sad as the last two. I've been like in a family drama place, I realize. I may have to start watching more comedy television. I see, yes.
Watch Only Murders in the Building for some comedy mystery inspiration.
That's murders. A good show. Amazing. Yeah, how are you all feeling? Did you feel like you earned that level? I think yeah, you did.
I'll take another. No, okay.
After our romp in the wilds with Penny Dreadful, and then after this definitely feels like a level well earned.
Oh, yes.
Will we get to know what the treasure would have been had we asked for it?
Yeah, it would have been a very special magical ingredient that might have popped off Lou's heroic destiny.
That's okay. I just cried instead.
Oh, fuck.
That's okay. It was a pretty good warning to have.
We got some big intrigue coming up. I'm so hyped.
Also, yeah, what's up with the Karelins? Weird. Weird
Portals? Where did these portals come from? When did this happen? Was it the same time you gave the book away? I don't know.
I was really so looking forward to talking to Cassie more about the Corellans, and then that happened. Now I'm like, oh, I'll write you, girl.
Yeah, that was a whole thing that never got discussed. We got a lot of stuff to do next time, so it'll be really good. It'll be really good. But yeah, like I said, thank you all for joining us. Before we let you go, we have some news. I did my news. Everybody levels up. I made a note. Thank you for reminding me. But Nassim, you also had some things you wanted to say, and then we'll thank our donors and sign off.
Yes, indeed. Every week, while there's still a revolution happening in Iran, I'm going to talk about it because you should still be hearing about it. And we should still be amplifying Iranian voices as much as we can, because so many things since the last time I brought this up have been spouted onto the internet that aren't true. And it really diverts attention to what the people in Iran are saying. So let's focus on them. And you can continue to reach out to your representatives. If you've done so already, share the link, tell your other friends to reach out to their representatives. The website in chat right now, it's nufdi.org. Has a written script for both parties. You'll find your representatives there. Copy and paste. Send it to your reps, please, and thank you. Some good news is, in my own personal life, is that I was just a guest on the Dungeon Run's latest episode. If you want to go check that out, the VOD is now on their YouTube channel at the Dungeon Run with some other really great, talented performers and RPG players. And I'm so excited every time they invite me back. I have such a great time. It was wild and a horny group to play with. So
it's a theme with your groups.
You know, if you like what you see here, you're going to like what you see there. You know, it's a good place to be. Go check that out. And lastly, I did some voiceover work for officially the first time with Need for Speed's new game Unbound, and it's out, it's released, and I'm in a video game, and I think that's cool and sick and dope, and I can't fucking wait to play it. So yeah, play it. See if you can find me. I'm really curious if you can. Yeah, that's all. Thank you. Thank you for letting me brag about myself a little bit.
Yeah, and for those of you listening as well, those links mentioned are going to be in the podcast notes as well. So if you look at the episode inside your app of choice, you will see links right there in the show notes. Very cool. Before we officially go, we always like to take some time to say a huge, huge thank you to the people who donate to us monthly on Patreon. It is our number one, pretty much only source of income. So your monthly donations are so helpful. They pay the cast. They pay beautiful people like Sage who are editing and doing fantastic fucking stuff. They allow us to make books and, you know, keep this stream running for now almost 6 years. We could not do it without you. So god damn it. Thank you. And if you want to be one of these heroes, if you value our time, artists, if you've gotten at least an hour of enjoyment out of this, we really encourage you to go and consider donating on Patreon. For as little as $1 a month, you can support us and make our dreams come true and get a ton of cool fucking shit as rewards. Damn, everybody wins. So thank you. So let's take some time, go around now and say thank you to our highest donor tiers. So starting with the Artie's cohorts tier, thank you so much, Debbie.
Thank you, Curry.
Thank you, Muffin, at the one on Drury Lane on Twitter.
Thank you, Nyssa McKinnon.
And for our fairest drinking mates, thank you so much, Chris.
Thank you, Markali.
Thank you, Fable.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you so much, Sheepish Gnome.
And thank you, Ben, a.k.a. Flower Crown Gaming, our Wiki King.
Wiki King, wonderful lad.
The Wiki King.
Thank you, the Wiki King. Yes, the Unseen King. It was Ben all along.
Ben, what are you telling me?
Ben, seek him, Lou. So thank you all. Thank you all so much. We'll catch you again in 2 weeks. Until next time, everybody. Oh, no, shit, outros. Hi, yes, I did it. I remembered it. Fuck, hi, thank you for being here. I've been your dungeon master, Celeste Conowich. So on top of it, fuck yeah.
Hello, I'm Katie, and I played the very Sathir Drow Rogue.
Hello and goodbye. I'm Nassim Etamad. I played your half-orc fighter, Fittonia Silvertail.
You say goodbye. I say hello. Hello, I'm hello. Sage and I...
Damn it, you guys. It's a mess.
And I am Aoife Flannery, your beguiling bard.
Okay, we did it, right? Well, that's all the things. So finally, for real this time, thanks everybody for watching. We'll see you next time. And until then,
Venture Away!